Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's identity refreshing!
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
They are one for one. Now Trocheck, he's got the power play goal to Aho. Aho for D'Angelo. He walks the blue line. D'Angelo shot, he scores! Get fired up, Tony D'Angelo, on the power play. Carolina goes up 6-3.
All right, well, that obviously is a highlight from last year. Carolina Hurricanes' Tony D'Angelo, the Sewell, New Jersey native, scoring a goal. 215-592-9494. I'm going to ask the callers who are checking in on our issue of how you watch games to stay with us, because I don't want to lose that one. But, yeah, the Flyers, it was a big week for the Flyers. You had the NHL draft where they had the fifth pick of the draft and took a kid, Cutter Gauthier, who's a year or two away. Rob, I have no strong opinion on whether he's going to be any good or not. I mean, he seemed like it wasn't a reach of a pick, right?
Athletic and big. I like that he's going to get a little seasoning at BC, which works. He's versatile. He can play center. He can play wing. But, yeah, I mean, I couldn't tell you, Glenn. I don't study it closely enough. I watched some of the reaction from people. Didn't feel like a reach where they took him. So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. They certainly need some offensive punch, that's for sure.
The bigger news is the acquisition of Tony D'Angelo, and they gave up three picks. They gave up a fourth rounder this year, a third rounder next year, and a second rounder in 2024. They then signed him to a two-year, $10 million extension. Pretty, a lot of money.
Yeah, he was restricted, so they basically traded for his rights negotiating rights.
He had a nice offensive season last year, 10 goals and 41 assists in 64 games with Carolina, had a good plus-minus, had 10 postseason points in 14 games, but, as we have said, has a lot of baggage. Some of it on the ice, some of it off the ice. Let's go through some of it. I'll put it to you this way. I went online to find highlights of him to play the thing that we just played, and the first thing on Google is something that says, Tony D'Angelo top jerk moments, volume 1 and 2.
Oh, two volumes.
Yes.
Oh, good.
And I don't want to get into all the details of some of it. In brief, this is a very quick version. He was suspended in juniors for using racial slur against his own teammate twice, once in juniors and once when he was with the Coyotes. He was suspended for abusing an official twice. Former New York Rangers coach David Quinn benched him for on-ice outbursts, and the team eventually waived him after he started a post-game fight with the goalie. There,
right.
And insulted the goalie during the air. He has been guilty of episodes of racism and homophobia. Now, last year in Carolina, he got a fresh start. And by all accounts, he handled it well under Rod Brind'Amour. We love Rod Brind'Amour. Runs a very structured operation down there. You don't mess around. D'Angelo said that he attended counseling classes, whatever that is. He expressed regret for things that he had said and done in the past. He made a fresh start and he did okay.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the lead on a on the national story. I think I was looking this morning on the Hockey News website. Okay. His downsides, though, are that D'Angelo gives up, and this is not related to his.
Yeah, this
his
is all, not off the ice stuff, right?
Right. This is not off the ice stuff. His downsides, though, are that D'Angelo gives up a lot on the defensive end of the ice and brings a ton of baggage with him off the ice. Well, it's both. D'Angelo has already worn out his welcome in multiple organizations and is now set to join what is already his fifth different team at age 26. For a defenseman that produces the way he does, that should be an alarming red flag. Why doesn't anybody want to keep him?
Right. Okay.
I'll go to you.
Yeah.
I'll put that on your plate and let you deal with that.
So drafted by Tampa, then shipped to Arizona, then shipped to the Rangers, then shipped, well, basically waived and then picked up by Carolina, now with the Flyers. This is just since being drafted. He's 25, right? I mean, this is not an older player. He's 26. This is not an older player. I mean, you're dating back to 14 when he was drafted and he's on his fifth organization. That's a lot of movement. And Glenn, I'll even ask you, I hear you in all accounts, there wasn't a lot of, you know, shenanigans with him last year.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he not there? Why is he not, if he was so valuable to them, and the production's good, 64 games, 51 points.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good production. I'll give you another one. Go back to the 2019-20 season with the Rangers. He puts up 53 points in 68 games. Yet next year they waive him because he's such a headache.
Yeah.
There's a lot of movement here with this guy. He needs to be paired with a phenomenally defensive defenseman and disciplined defenseman, because yes, he's going to give you a lot on the power play and he's going to score for you, but on the other end, he's a liability. So you gave a lot up for serious questions off the ice and a liability on the defensive end for a team that's frankly bad defensively.
Yeah, well, all well said. Last year, there was, you know, I'm reading as much as I can yesterday because when you talk about, you know, do you watch games, do you watch highlights? My watching of the Carolina Hurricanes at most is limited to watching highlights, and I don't watch a ton of those. But I read some stories about it, and it basically said that he's a good offensive defenseman who can help them in that regard. He had good numbers last year and likely was helped a lot by having Marek Slavin as a defensive partner in Carolina, who is regarded as one of the best defensive defensemen in the NHL. Who does he have here to play that role?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Provorov is at this point.
Well, he's not that, and I wonder if this moves toward a trade of Provorov, who's been, to me, huge disappointment from what I thought he was going to be.
I thought he was going to be a perennial all-star. I thought he was going to be a guy in any Norris Trophy conversation, but he's not. And I don't know if that's him or just they haven't developed him. Well, I don't know. But, yeah, there doesn't appear to be that player on the roster right now to pair with him. I can buy second chances. I can buy, you know, some things you didn't quite understand about the world and life when you were a kid, if that's the case. Okay, I hope that is the case. But I see someone who is well-traveled, who actually has some talent, but for a team that really needs a defensive defenseman, not saying they don't need help on the power play because their special teams stink, quite frankly, but I don't see someone here who works well with him, at least right now, as we sit here.
Yeah, you saw what Chuck Fletcher said yesterday when asked about his defensive liabilities.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite quotes. We're not expecting Tony to come in and be an elite defender. We wanted to get him so we wouldn't have to defend as much in our own zone.
Yeah, it sounds like Ghost.
Yeah, who had a good season not here.
Right.
Yeah,
who went away from here and actually got back to being Ghost.
Yeah.
So, there's been a lot. Yeah, they gave a lot up for him. For a team that's looking for stability, he doesn't feel like a stability kind of guy. You know what he feels like, Glenn? The kind of guy you bring into a team that's got an unbelievable culture. Like, he goes to the Patriots, if we cross sports
I
here,
gotcha.
And he gets his act together.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like that. This is a good time right now. And with Tortorella, who I mentioned earlier, is a combustible cat to begin with. This has potential to go off the rails real quick.
Well, and I think that's going to be the interesting dynamic. And I think they had to have considered that and had to have discussed it with Tortorella, because you know that John Tortorella isn't going to put up with any of those things that we discussed off or particularly on the ice or in the locker room. You know, again, it's stuff that he has said. It's stuff that he has done on the ice, and it's also stuff he's brought to the locker room.
Yeah.
And you also know that playing in Philadelphia as a fan base and a media market isn't the same as playing and succeeding in Carolina. I'm not sure how this improves the locker room. It's certainly bad optics. It's not cheap. It's a 2-year, $10 million contract extension. Is he going to play ahead of Ellis? Is he going to play ahead of Provera?
I think he may play in lieu of Ellis. I don't know. I mean, the quotes, the other thing, quotes from Fletcher regarding Ryan Ellis weren't real encouraging. So yeah. I'm wondering if this is a precursor to, you know, not having Ellis around. I wonder about that.
Maybe. So I'll just kind of sum up in my mind, paying that much in picks and in salary for a 26-year-old player. And understand, 26 is not old.
No.
But it's not in hockey. It's not you're a rebuilding team. You're not a retooling team. You're not a team looking for that one guy. 26 is not young either. Paying that much for a guy with flaws on the ice and a very sketchy past, I don't know that that's the smart move for this team, for a team in rebuild. I don't know if he makes them more than marginally better. I mean, is he a nucleus guy? Is he a building block? Because if you're signing him like this, he's got to be. Last thing I'll say, and I'll kick it to you, is I appreciate that he had no issues last year in Carolina and under Rod Brind'Amour, and maybe he's matured. He's got family here. He's coming home. Maybe that all plays very well for him, and he's got support. Maybe he's changed his character. But as I look at this thing today, I'm pretty skeptical.
Yeah, look, if he's seen the error of his ways, and it's simply a matter of growing up, and that's what it is. And like you just mentioned, being surrounded by his family will help him as a support system. For all those reasons, you can get behind at least from the character standpoint. But I think there's also hockey flaws here. If there's more moves to come and you're pairing him with someone who is a really good defensive defenseman, then it makes more sense. And also, if you realize they've come to the realization that or they're just completely unsure about Ryan Ellis's return, then I get it. Like, I think it's the worst move in the world? No, but it feels like a lot for a guy with a lot of other stuff happening.
Yeah, well, they certainly, if nothing else, they put themselves in the news.
Well, they did, and
we weren't going to discuss Cutter Gauthier a whole lot today.
No, they've done two things, Glenn, that have made them relevant, whether that's good or bad. Tortorella is one of them for sure. Tortorella is the kind of coach that brings you attention. It's not Dave Hackstall, where you're saying who, okay? And
I had the personality of a cardboard.
Oh
box.
God, Ryan Sandberg was a party compared to Dave Hackstall. I mean, but you, D'Angelo's a guy you're going to notice, okay? Right or wrong, good or bad, you're going to notice. So if the attempt is to sell some tickets and from a PR standpoint, get people interested again, we're talking about them when, frankly, we probably wouldn't give them the Flyers too much time just based off a Cutter Gauthier.
Yes, and I may say to Tony D'Angelo, the only advice I have for you is stay off of social media.
Amen.
It does not appear to have served you well in the past.
And it's usually not a win period for athletes in a lot of ways.
Yeah, depending on how they want to address it. Yeah. Let's get Neil up here in East Norton. Neil, what's on your mind today?
Well, Glenn, Rob, how are you doing today?
All right.
All right, Neil.
Good, good. Well, I want to keep the conversation going with the Flyers. I don't know how I feel about the D'Angelo trade. That I look at it, it's only 2 years. I know $5 million is $5 million, but I just looked at their cap. They're only right now $100,000 over the cap. Chuck Fletcher said something the other day, even before they got D'Angelo. He said, we need to get bigger, faster, and quicker. So that's just about every component of the hockey team. They definitely got tougher and bigger with D'Angelo. Pound for pound, he's one of the toughest guys in the league. old school Broad Street Bully fans will love the fact that he's a great fighter. I want to put all that to the side. This tells me, gentlemen, that Ryan Ellis isn't going to play a minute this year. They're going to stash Ellis's $6 million salary and use it to go sign Johnny Gaudreau this week, and maybe even flip JVR to a team that has to get to the cap, like Seattle or Arizona. And then there's $13, $14 million to go sign Johnny Gaudreau. Do you buy any of that about Gaudreau coming to Philly?
I think there may be something to it, Neil. Yeah, for sure. I think that he would probably want to come here. I think, you know, look, the appeal to be home, I think there's a draw there. But you're also talking about a team that hasn't won a lot of hockey games. So that's really the rub there for Johnny Gaudreau. But I think it's possible. And like I said, they're trying to make noise this offseason, and that would be a real positive noisemaker for them if they could pull that off.
I agree. And, you know, the Fletcher comment saying that we want to get quicker, I mean, they're getting bigger just by getting some of these injured players back, Couturier, Kevin Hayes. Gaudreau fills a humongous need that was vacated after they traded Claude Giroux. You know, he's a more highly skilled Claude Giroux.
Oh, yeah. he's
10 years younger
player.
Than Claude.
Phenomenal player.
He's an elite player, and he would also give them positive attention, which is something this franchise badly, badly needs.
This takes the if it happened, it would take the notice off of D'Angelo, and all the focus would go on.
Yeah, it would be a big story. No. Robert wants to check in. Hey, Robert.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Let me get you on here. I just wanted to jump in because I just got out of the gym, and it was so cool. I turned you guys on. You guys were talking about the Flyers, and before I left, I was on Philly.com blogging a little bit about it. And I just think this move is a Fletcher move, man. I think he's worried about his job. He's, you know, this team needs to rebuild. He is trading every draft pick that we have away. I don't think we have a first one last year. We didn't have a second this year. Now he's giving away a second, third. I thought this team was rebuilding. You know, I mean, that's what they need.
Yeah, let me just say, and I'm not disagreeing with your overall point. The only upside to it is you gave away a fourth this year, a third next year, and a second the year after. So it's kind of like you're putting off to the future the higher pick.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to disagree with you, Robert. And Mike Sielski wrote a good column about this morning in the Choir. They need more than what they're doing. They need more than cosmetic change. They need a full rebuild. And the question is whether Fletcher is willing and able to do a full rebuild.
Well, what do you think? If he has another bad season, is he around? I think he's gone.
Fletcher's gone if they have a bad season.
And I look at the Rangers. Now I look at the Devils. Surprised they drafted number two because, you look, they got some star power on that team, as do the Rangers. What star power does the Flyers have? I can't name a star.
There isn't a star.
Hayes, $7 million. He's averaged 12 goals a season. We've had him for 4 years. Ellis is never playing. That guy's done. He was damaged goods when we got him. These moves that he's made, I don't know why he's still here. And I think now he's, you know, mortgaging the future. That's my feeling, this whole thing.
And you said it well, no doubt.
Yeah, and Glenn, it feels like they should have blown it to bits. I'm not talking process Sixers, but it feels like it should have been more of a concerted effort to rebuild it. It feels like they're trying to remake this on the fly.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to take the Eagles out of this conversation because I think Howie's GM for life.
Mm.
All right. Give me the order in which these guys leave from soonest to latest of Fletcher, Dave Dombrowski, and Daryl Morey.
Fletcher will leave first.
Okay.
Dombrowski and then Morey. I don't think any of them are long-termers. Okay. Dombrowski, certainly at his age, isn't going to be around forever. But I just get a sense that Morey's not going to be around forever. So
well,
that's
you have him as the second longest. So we're going to have a lot of news coming up.
There's going to be a lot of changes. I mean, Dombrowski's an older guy. I think Chuck Fletcher is hanging by. I think, frankly, they should have made a move on him after this past season. So I don't think he's a short-termer. And, yeah, I would completely concur with you with Howie. He's not going anywhere. And look, he's had two monster off-seasons.
I'm not looking to fire him. I have no problem whatsoever in that regard. 215-592-9494. He's Rob Ellis. I'm Glenn Macnow. Coming up, we are going to tell you about a show that Rob and I both started watching this week that we highly recommend. Rob, one of the things over the years when Ray and I do what we're watching that I find is Like, people will see me during the week, and then occasionally they'll say, like, yeah, what do you think of that Phillies move? And I'll give my answer. I get 10 times the amount of people who come up to me and say, like, so what show should I be watching? So
I like it. Look, I love that segment. I love I listen every week.
We know where the bread is buttered.
I hear
215-592-9494 with Rob Ellis. I'm Glenn Mack now on 94 WIP.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.